Good evening, everybody. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John. John chapter 4 is where we're going to be. Guys, there are a lot of brethren sick tonight. A lot. So we are not going to do a prayer session tonight. We're going to try to get out of here afterwards and get healthy, stay healthy. But any pressing requests right now, I'll take them right now. If there's some pressing requests, get them on the board. Mike W. You bet. So Mike and Katya, it's been a long process. It's required a lot of faith and perseverance, and the Lord opened a door and they have this opportunity. So safe delivery for the baby, and just that's super exciting. But prayers for them that everything would go well. What else we got pressing? Derek. Okay, so pray for Kevy. Surgery? Anything else that's pressing? I know, we'll just put studies up there. I know there's a lot of good ones. I know there's a couple of that I have that are right there, so I like prayers on that. And then there was something else that I... I talked to Cherie this week a little bit, and they really could use prayers for Cherie and Serena, particularly. Just it's a kind of a, let's say, government involvement in that family. And so you guys know the way that system is. It's really not in the best interest of the children. It's the state thinks of the state control. They own the kids. And anyways, we need prayers for them. She would really appreciate that. And so, anything else? I thought I saw one other. Matthew?
The Breeze,
yes. And their adoption and get home safely and all that. Dave? Yes, pray for Sue. And let's just put health up here for everybody. All right. So please uphold the brethren in your prayers. Pray for Tammy Jones. So, Jennifer, what's this gal's name? Nancy's preacher's wife, Tammy Jones, isn't doing very well health-wise, so pray for Tammy. Okay. All right, let's get into the Gospel of John. I really appreciated Mr. Simpson's prayer. Man, guys, boy, do we need the Lord. Amen? We live in a world that is messed up. I can't get enough Bible. I can't get enough of Christ. There's no, Romans 12:2 still says it so well. We're either being conformed to this world or we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we need the Lord. We need His Word. I'm thankful for the commitment of the brethren that come to Bible study together on Wednesday nights. I need it. And I'm appreciative to see my other brethren who are committed to that and say, this is what we want. This is what we care about. I'm getting maybe a little ahead of myself, but, you know, the Word of God is living, isn't it? It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the vision of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intention of the heart. Because the Lord, you've seen those signs, God still speaking. Okay? And the idea behind that is God speaks to you as the prophet. God speaks to you in your own ways. And that's a bunch of baloney. But God is still speaking, and He speaks in His Word. Okay? And when we read this book, hey, we got to understand, the Lord, aren't we supposed to look in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, see in this mirror and behold the glory of the Lord? this is the Lord speaking to you and to me. Man, that's powerful. Will we listen? Do we care what he says? And this is sometimes people, oh, I wish I would have lived in those days, you know, the burning bush, and I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And you know, I wish I would have been there around the mountain when the voice of God was thundering from the mountain. The people are like so full of fear and trembling, and they're like, please, just speak to Moses, and then have Moses speak to us. Because the scripture is really clear. We have something better than that. Christ is here. God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Hey, the resurrection. God speaks to us. The Hebrews chapter 12 says, we've come to Mount Zion. We've come to this better place. And we have come to the prophet who speaks from heaven. God is speaking in His Word. Let's remember that. John chapter 4. Let's pick it up in verse 7. And I'm going to read all the way through 24. Probably just get through verse 20 or so tonight. But just get a little bit of a running start here in John chapter 4, verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw. He said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. A lot of good stuff in here, and we'll get to the topic of worship probably next week, Lord willing. But I just, by way of review from last week, some things we covered, it just is, I'm always impressed with Jesus, His interactions with people. Yeah, I'm impressed with the love that He has for every individual. You know, I don't know the details of every person's background, every person in this room, what your background is. But I know that in one way or another, we didn't fit in. I didn't. I don't. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Some of us were maybe part of the cool group, and some of us were maybe part of the uncool group. Some of us maybe had money. Some of us didn't have money. God doesn't care about that one bit. God cares about you. God cares about every single person who's willing to come to Him. Think about the Old Testament. Just two ladies come to my mind in the Old Testament. You have Rahab the harlot, back from the city of Jericho. Okay. Rahab the harlot, you can't get much lower on the social totem pole. Okay. And yet, her faith, she had faith. She wanted something more. She's the one person who was willing to say, you know what? We know what your God has done. We've heard about it. And we know your God is real. And God chose her. And you know what? The lineage of Jesus comes through her. God doesn't care where you came from. Not one bit. Think about Ruth. Ruth, the Moabitess, right? Hey, what? If you're from Moab, man, what are you? You don't even get to go to the temple. For what? How many generations? I don't remember what the number is. You go back and look at it in the law. You know what? Ruth, who was from Moab, she left that place. She was willing to turn her back on her people and her gods and pursue the one true living God. And you know what? Ruth, another lady through whom the lineage of Jesus came. God does not care. Yeah, she was a Gentile. God does not care where you were. He cares about you. And we see Jesus. Jesus bears that out in His life. It is so easy to pass by people and to think of, to get numb to people. It's just another number, just another. Jesus wasn't like that. And part of us being made to be like Christ is to understand the value of every person. I love the way that Jesus interacts with this woman. We talked about that last time. But it was on my mind this week, and a great reminder to me of the way that Jesus views people. And think about the way He viewed you prior to this. What could you offer to the Lord? It wasn't about that, was it? He cared about you. We know the Scripture has a lot to say about that, and not many. Mighty, not many noble, according to the flesh. But God chose us. And we wanted something more. So don't ever underestimate what somebody wants. Don't try to judge that ahead of time. Give people the opportunity, because there are people who are looking. This lady, and we'll get into a little bit, she's had five husbands. Presumably, she's been divorced five times. Possible. One or two of them died. And now she's just living with the guy. Because you know what? The reality is, you've been married five times and you've been divorced five times. Why bother? And that's... You know the way it works. This lady, by anybody looking, would say, she's failure in life. She's the one that Jesus is going to use to bust open this whole city of the Samaritans. Because she wants something more. I need a reminder of that. And I'm thankful for Christ and His example in the flesh. So, and then we also talked about the living water. The gift of God. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. What is that living water? How's the Scripture define that? The indwelling Holy Spirit. Okay. You can check that out in John chapter 7. Okay. That's the gift of God. And, you know, it's interesting because Jesus had made this promise to the apostles, and He made it in a couple different ways. You can read John chapters 14, 15, and 16, and you're going to see Jesus specifically had promised them, hey, when the Helper comes, He's going to bring to your remembrance all that I taught you, right? Oh, and He's also going to lead you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is going to remind these apostles as they record for us information concerning Jesus' ministry on earth, like we see in the Gospel of John. He's going to remind them, and He's also going to open up their eyes to things, for them to understand things on following the cross that they had no conception of before the cross. It's kind of cool because if you can see the forest for the trees, the speed at which, or the snail's pace at which we're moving through the book of Acts. Okay? But if you can see the forest for the trees in that, isn't it amazing the way that God is working? And the apostles even, they don't understand stuff. sometimes when they say it. But God was leading them. The Holy Spirit was leading them into all truth. Can you guys think of a couple times where that's the case in the book of Acts, where these guys didn't understand it at the time, but you can see God opening up their eyes, the apostles? Any examples? Super Dave.
Acts 4.
Acts 4? What you thinking of? Peter and John, probably there.
Peter and John, yes, sorry. They were, the Pharisees said to them that they see that men of noble teaching, but they're speaking the Word of God.
Okay, so in they recognized Peter and John. I think it's particularly the Sadducees there in that, but it's the council. They recognize them as having been with Jesus. Okay, so they're able to look and say, man, these guys are uneducated, untrained men to have been with Jesus. Can you guys think of anything that Peter maybe preached that the time he preached it, he didn't even understand what he was saying? Give me one example, Matthew.
Pentecost.
The day of Pentecost, what's the example? What did Peter say there that he didn't fully understand? There is. For the promise is for... And for all who are far off. Okay. Guys, what Peter's saying, the promise, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, is for you and your children, for the Jew. And for all who are far off. Who's that? The Gentile. Peter didn't get it until Acts chapter 10. Some 10 to 13 years later. Okay? And that's not the only time. We see it in his message in Acts chapter 3. Okay, in Acts chapter 10, his eyes get open. We see this. God leading them. He's reminding them of things. And you consider the whole Old Testament is God was laying in His plan. God knew where He was going from the beginning. And He's leading these guys to bring this forth to us. Jesus knows. He lays out a discussion. He lays out some amazing points. But this one went well. That nobody, His apostles had no, themselves would have had no clue yet what He was talking about. The Holy Spirit, and then the issue of worship. So, God, I just think it's neat to see the way that as God is planning and bringing stuff into existence. So, Jesus has this conversation with this woman at the well, and He offers her this living water. And He said, man, if you knew the gift of God, you knew who it was, you'd just ask this for me. Because the offer was made. But she still had to ask. You notice that? Jesus puts it that way, and she has to follow up. That's the way the Lord works, isn't it? There's opportunities all the time. And that's really, guys, we need to imitate Him in our dealings with people. We make these offers. Hey, you can't shove stuff down people's throat. Hey, you put stuff out there. You find something that can hit that eternity button, and you give them opportunity to respond. She of course didn't understand about this living water, but she's trying to figure it out. She's trying to, what's this mean? What's this talking about? You have nothing to draw with. The well's deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Who is this guy? Right? He must be, if he can really do this, he must be pretty special. You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who were the patriarchs? Who did the nation of Israel, even the Samaritans, who would have they considered as the patriarchs? I already kind of said it earlier.
Abraham,
Isaac, Jacob, right? I mean, they really looked up to Moses too, but when God's talking to Moses, He's the one who tells Moses. That's where He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, these guys are the patriarchs. They're up there. You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? I mean, He's the one who gave us this well. He drank of Himself, His sons and His cattle. Like, even it's His well, but He had to drink from this. You're not greater than Him. And you can see these wheels turning. And so, now the Lord begins to teach what He's talking about, the value of what He has to offer. He says, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. I think Nolan recently talked about water. Was that you in one of your drinking water? Trying to pound a gallon of water? And water's good stuff. You guys know I've preached it myself before about Coca-Cola and soda. It still has a little appeal to me. I like the little burn when it goes. You know, you take a little Mountain Dew and it's like the little zing going down. There's that carbonation. I like this. There's appeal to that to me. But the problem with soda is in the short term, it gives you a little refreshment, doesn't it? But in the long run, you're thirsty. Drink your water, people. Right? And you know what? Water's amazing stuff. Water's amazing. God, man. And you can't just drink water once. You can't just drink water once a day. Like, you try going without this. This is something you have to continually go back to the well and get. Right? Jesus says, hey, the water I'm going to give you is this well that's springing up inside of you. Like, it never runs out. Like, you aren't going to have to continually go to the well and draw it out. It's there. I'm giving it to you. We know that from when we covered last time, this time about the Holy Spirit, there's all sorts of examples in the Old Testament. I touched on one from Ezekiel, but I want you to go back with me to the book of Judges for a second. I'm super thankful for these reminders in the Scripture. Judges chapter 15. We are in spiritual warfare, aren't we? And the battle at times is incredibly exhausting. And you just got to be honest about this. But if you... there's two ways to look at this. Justin, was that you? In the opening, half full, half empty? There's two ways to look. You can focus on the exhaustion of the battle, or you can focus on that which God supplies. And Judges chapter 15... you guys remember Samson? And he takes this jawbone of a donkey and he wipes out 1,000 Philistines. That's a warrior. That's some good stuff. And I think... does Thor have a hammer? Is that what he has? Thor has a hammer and that's got nothing on Samson's jawbone of a donkey. There's the 1,000 Philistines. Takes them out. You know, I don't know how he did that. Backed himself in a corner and went to town. I don't know, but it would have been cool to see. Okay? They should make an action movie about that one. But in verse 17, it came about when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand. He named that place Ramoth Lehi. Then he became very thirsty. And he called the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance by the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned and he revived. Therefore he named it En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. And the spring of him who called is what that means. There's a spring of water. Do you think there's accidentally in there? We're engaged in spiritual battle. Is God able to supply? He supplies a spring from within, the Holy Spirit, so that we never, never run out. I'm thankful for those reminders. And so Jesus makes this offer to this woman at the well. And she said, he says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That whoever, Jesus knew this was going to be for Jew and Gentile. Jesus knew it was going to be for you and me. He's looking. Whoever will. What a tremendous statement here by Jesus. This is open for anybody who wants it.
I like that. It just popped into my head that what you were just saying just now is whoever drinks from this, there's no IVs in this deal. It's up to us to drink. And, you know, I always have the reminder of your dad in the debate with Chuck Dowdy in talking about the Holy Spirit. And I loved his example as, you know, this lamp is plugged into all the power it can handle. But you still have to reach up and turn that switch. So God does all the heavy lifting, but we still have to do our part. And so we have the encouragement from the Scriptures, do not quench the Spirit.
Amen.
Not only do we have to actually drink, we can quench it too if we're not careful. And so, you know, all the things that we need to do to drink, you know, we need to take that seriously. Assembly of the Saints. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because these are the people that are thirsty and want to drink. But just that, I was just thinking of that. I wanted to remind us all that we have to choose to drink.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Mike. When I had cancer and they hooked me up to all that, I don't want to compare it to life-giving stuff. Actually, it was designed to kill life, but killed the cancer, which was great. But I had to have IVs so much that they can't keep putting IVs in you. So they something called a Groshong, and they implant this thing in here, and then they just it's always sticking out of you, and then you just screw it on there, the packet, and put it into you. Hey, that's and you can be laying there sick as can be, and they can pump that stuff right into you, right? The Lord said we get to drink. And there is a choice here, Mike. You know, the sense that we will never get thirsty, and I'll talk about that a little bit more, it doesn't mean that we don't hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's not that we don't want the Holy Spirit. It's not that we don't... It's that the Holy Spirit's able to provide everything that we need without lack. You know, it's so easy to get distracted and to chase a lot of empty pursuits. I like what Steve Doty says. There's a spiritual hole in every single one of us. And people are trying to fill that hole. The problem is you try all sorts of physical stuff to fill that hole. And that stuff, that can't provide what you need. It never satisfies. Let's go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. This is a good read every so often. Be careful when you read it. Remember the perspective from which Solomon's writing Ecclesiastes. A couple times he'll veer into the realm of eternity. But for the most part, a life experience, this life is apart from the Lord. You know, we see that. My dad said it's really sad what people do. Sex, alcohol, drugs. Trying to fill this spiritual void with something that's physical that can never satisfy. And thinking about Ecclesiastes, excuse me, I'm going to try to read a few different passages here. So open it up to chapter 1. I'm just going to bounce through a couple things really quickly here. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 16. I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. My mind has observed the wealth of wisdom and knowledge. And I set my mind to know wisdom, to know madness and folly. I realized that this also is striving after wind. Because in much wisdom there is much grief. And increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. So you want to be the smartest person in the world? I think Solomon was. He was the wisest person in the world. Queen of the South. She came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And afterwards she's like, she was in total awe. And she was like, wow, I thought these accounts had to have been greatly exaggerated, and I realized I haven't heard the half of them. He's the smartest guy in the world, and you know what he says? Being the smartest guy in the world, it's empty. It's vanity. People pursue that, don't they? They want more knowledge, and they can get their doctorate in this, and get their doctorate in that, and it's empty. How about chapter 2, verses 1 through 2? I said to myself, okay, so that whole being the smartest guy in the world isn't so great. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said, of laughter, it's madness. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? We got a whole world that's trying that. Hey, have as much fun as you possibly can. It's all about the fun. Young people in particular. It's all about the fun. It's all about... Guys, you know what? Fun, even if the fun in and of itself isn't sinful, the fun in and of itself runs out, it's empty. What's it accomplish? Nothing. I don't think you have to be... Solomon experimented on all this. Guys, as a freebie here, he experimented so you don't have to. Okay? I figured this out at 8 years old. The things I like the very most, they get old after a while. First time in my life I ever had steak and shrimp, man, that was amazing. It's still really good. But it's not as good as the first time. It isn't. It's stuff, pleasure. Where's it end up? Empty. Not enough. Jump down with me to verse 11. I'm going to pick this up here a little bit. I think you're getting the point. Thus I considered all my activities. Verse 11. So he does all this work and builds all these great things and takes on all these projects. In verse 11, thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Work as hard as you want. Build all these monuments. Maybe even to yourself. You know what? Nothing. Empty. How about verse 17? So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Futile. Empty pursuits. I'm going to come back to that later. Physical things can't satisfy. Chapter 5. Verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. What do the rich guys want? $1 more. Or the next million. Or whatever it is. Nor he who loves abundance with his income. This too is vanity. You go chase that, you're never going to be satisfied. There's always the next one. How about chapter 7. Verses 27 through 29. I always found this interesting. I don't quite completely get it, but Solomon says in verse 27, behold, I've discovered this, says the preacher, adding one thing to another to find an explanation, which I am still seeking but have not found. I've found one man among a thousand. That's the part I don't quite get. I wonder who that was. It was a prophet or something. I don't know. But I've not found a woman among all these. You know what, guys? Count them up. Solomon tried it, 1,000. Couldn't find what he was looking for. Verse 29, behold, I found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Absolutely nothing. All the physical things, and then I think about what's the most spiritual thing we have in this world? Apart from Christ, what's the most spiritual thing that we have? I think it's relationships. God made man in His image according to His likeness. Relationships that we have with people is the closest imitation to what that relationship that we can have with God. And you know, I was sharing this with my boys here a little while back. You know, when I came to the conclusion, and I'm actually super thankful for it, but at the same time, it's kind of a sad thing. And I think you'll know what I mean. There's something in this life. We all looking for something. We all want something. And Julie's my absolute best friend in the world. And she's amazing to me. She's absolutely amazing to me. And I was sharing with my boys, you know, it was kind of a sad thing to come to the realization that the person who I love the most and loves me the most, she can't meet all my needs. Can't do it. And you know what, guys? There's a whole lot of marriages that are unhappy marriages because we want our spouse to meet our deepest needs. God didn't make us that way. You can't. They can't. They won't. It's impossible. Why? Because only He can. The Holy Spirit, the rivers of living water, your relationship with God. That's the one thing that can satisfy you so that you never thirst again. Mike's right. You got to continually drink of that. You can't say, okay, I got immersed, got a relationship with God, and then go, you'll be miserable. But you continue to put in from the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Then you will be satisfied. That's the only relationship that can fill our deepest needs. That's what the Lord's driving at here. I think it's pretty relevant to this poor woman at the well, who's tried 5 at least, and here's number 6. It's relevant to all of us in whatever our story is. Only God can provide this through His Spirit. Super cool. So the Lord, He kind of lays this stuff out there for her, and she's curious. Don't you like it when people ask questions? The Bible studies that are far and away the toughest for me are ones where people don't give you any sort of feedback. I like it when people argue with me, but that's fine. I have a great attitude about that, because I found most of the times they argue is these are objections they want answers to. I like that. I like conversation. I like people are interested. What's tough for me is to try to have a Bible study or spiritual conversation with people that they don't ever say anything. Now, you have to be careful with that a little bit, guys, because some people are very quiet people. And so just because somebody doesn't say anything doesn't mean they're not interested. So I want you to be careful on that. You have to understand people's personality too. Okay? So don't write somebody off because they're not giving all the feedback that you would like. But I really enjoy it when people ask questions. This lady, she's laying some stuff out and she's asking, not only is she asking questions, but she's asking all the right questions. You've had those spiritual conversations, you've had those Bible studies, and your eyes, like you can tell. I most of the time have a really good feel within the first 3 weeks of Bible study with somebody whether or not they're a good prospect. Because there's either things that are ding, 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 and their eyes are lighting up, they're asking questions, it's like, oh yeah, this is a live one, right? This lady, Jesus, in a few sentences, a few minutes of conversation, boom, she's asking all the right stuff.
One thing I've learned, and it's really crucial, like with the Bible study with my brother, he doesn't always ask a lot of questions. So as I'm going along, I will stop and ask him if he's understanding what's going on. That way I get some kind of a response. So I need to know if I got to go into it deeper with him or if he's getting what we're talking about. But as far as for, like, Michael, you know, you got to ask. It doesn't matter how much it's given to you. And in James 1, it's pretty much makes that very clear that you've got to ask, but you've got to ask for the right reasons.
Exactly. Yep, very true. And, we kind of hit that last week, so I'm not going to spend too much more time on that, but you're absolutely right. We have to. And if we ask, the Lord is willing to give. And you know, in our conversations with people, Jesus is a master, guys. Isn't our goal to be like Christ? You want great people skills? Read the Bible. Imitate Jesus. Look, in this conversation that Jesus has with us, he puts some stuff out there just right to get her curiosity. He gives her just enough without that she wants the follow-up. You know, I'm good at this with kids, my kids at least. I've enjoyed, like, read the picture Bible, get to an interesting part, and close it up. What? Tomorrow. Look at that tomorrow. They want to know, right? They want to know more. I sometimes do that Bible studies. Get right to... That's a good place to close. Next week. The Lord was a master at that. Yeah, He's putting it in, but doesn't quite... She's got to ask. She's got to follow up. He's perfect at it. Hey, and we can learn from that. I had a super proud of our sister in Christ, Chris Wildman. I won't say too much because I know she wouldn't want me to brag on her too much. But just a conversation that she recently shared with me that she had with a coworker. Go with me to Colossians chapter 4. She was sharing this with me. This passage of Scripture really popped into my mind. In Colossians chapter 4, it starts with prayer, guys. Prayer that we are ready for these opportunities. And verses 2 through 4 talk about that. And we know Jesus was a man of prayer. In verse 5 it says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person." I'm just throwing this out here for free. Being zealous is very good. But being zealous with some wisdom actually can get some stuff done. You can hammer away all you want on Facebook about and rant on this and rant about that and go against abortion and homosexuality and all the other stuff. And who listens to that? The people who agree with you? Maybe? That's not the way. Hey, Jesus didn't come up to this woman and start bashing on divorce. That's not where he started the conversation with her. Was she going to listen? Think about this. Rewind the tape. Jesus comes in and says, he's a prophet. And he, right away, not talking about water, not talking about living, he just starts talking to her about, "You know, lady, where's your husband? I don't have a husband." "Well, actually, you've had 5. The guy you're with right now, he's not even your husband. We ain't talking. You claim to be one of God's people? Hey, you think this could have ended a little different?" Hey, there's some wisdom. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders. Hey, Jesus, first of all, gets her spiritual curiosity. She wants something more. That's what we want to find out. Do people want something? Some people they're content to wallow in their sin. You know what? Hell's going to be bad enough. Please be careful. I'm not saying don't take stands, but take stands in the right way. What's the goal? The goal is to try to get somebody to repent, right? And live. So our approach with people should be like Jesus. Now, when she gets interested and she starts asking, Jesus does end up having her deal with sin. He brings this up. Nobody going to come to Christ apart from confronting their sin. We understand that. And we have an obligation to help people come to a realization of that. The Scripture's written to help us do that. And so when we Bible study with people, or in our conversations, maybe we're not even in a Bible study yet, but in our there's these times we get to that spot. And yes, we need to. Jesus does. Hey, we can't talk about this living water any further without dealing with sin. That's true. Nobody can have the gift of the Holy Spirit without talking about sin and forgiveness of sins. And you know what? The Lord continues, guys, to deal with us. When I said earlier, the Word of God's living and active. The Lord knows you. The Lord knows me. This thing is designed perfectly to make me deal with myself. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, right? If I'm going to recognize, hey, this is God. This is God talking to me right here. Makes me deal with myself. Hey, what an opportunity. When we share with other people, we do have to help people come to that. The Scripture has shut up all people under sin. That's what it says in Galatians. One of the purposes of the Scripture. And so I want to make that clear. Jesus, he didn't avoid the topic of sin. We're not trying to go get people so bad that we just want to get them in here and we'll kind of, wow them with our beautiful singing. It needs a little work. And you know, and our great fellowship and our potluck dinners, which are really good, and we'll, you know, and then maybe kind of somewhere along the way they'll kind of catch. No, that's not what you win people with is what you win them to. But you start and see, do they want something more? If they want something more, now they actually know you care about them. This woman, and no doubt in her mind, Jesus cares about her. He's talking to her, a Samaritan woman. He's asking her for a drink. We talked about all that stuff last week. She knows he cares. Now he's going to talk about sin. Be open to that. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. One other really key point here, and actually I wanted to share one other thing. Remember the Old Testament? This is one of my favorite examples. Jacob. First time Jacob gets the blessing, gets it from his dad by pretending to be Esau. And remember when he wrestles with the angel all night? And as dawn is breaking and the angel reaches out and touches him in the hip, puts it out of the joint, and Jacob's like, I will not let you go unless you bless me, until you bless me. Hey, Jacob wanted something more. But I love the way God operates. He says, what's your name? Jacob got the blessing before by pretending to be somebody else. God going to break him down. When he said his name is Jacob, then God gives him a new name. Hey, God's consistent with that, guys. That's the way He works in our lives. And that's the way, when we work with other people, nobody's going to get into the kingdom of God without dealing with sin. So, it's part of the program. But just please follow the example of Jesus, how you get there. Okay? And then, one other really key point. When she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. As soon as she knows that Jesus knows her, now she believes he's able to actually deliver on this promise. Because the promises of God are great. There's some pretty amazing promises that other religions, other self-help offers. The problem is, nobody can back them up. There's a saying, I stole it from a guy, but it just altered it slightly so I can say it's mine. But if something doesn't meet the demands of the mind, there's no way it can answer the questions of the heart. Jesus showed this woman who he was. When we share with people, we got to show who Jesus is, don't we? From the scriptures. Jesus is the Son of God. God's gone to great lengths to prove who Jesus is. And we share that with people. Now, we believe Jesus is able to offer or fulfill what he promises. Because there's some things in the scripture I got to look at and I got to say, okay, God, you've said this. I know you can do this because you said it. But I don't wrestle very much about who Jesus is and whether he's who he claims to be. I don't wrestle with that at all. Where my faith sometimes gets a little, I got to work through it, is what God says about me. Do you know what? Jesus is who he says he is. And that guarantees to me that he is able to accomplish in my life what he promises. These rivers of living water, he promised them. The offer is real. The offer is real. He's gone to great lengths to show we know. I'm thankful for this discussion Jesus has with this woman at the well. So much packed in there in this little thing. And we haven't even got to talk about worship yet. That's a real question. That's what this conversation is headed to. And one of the things I find interesting about people, sorry I've gone over tonight, but we don't have prayer session, so you're okay. One thing I've found interesting about people, lots of times the real question comes at the very end. People have this whole meeting with the doctor. And they get up and they're leaving. And they're heading out the door and they say, oh, hey, one other thing. It's real. This is this lady's real question. It's about worship. And Jesus' answer is really, really good. It has everything to do with who we really are in Christ. It has everything to do. It's what Christianity is. Hey, I'm looking forward to our next study. Hope you are too. The Gospel of John. Jesus. Amazing. Amazing stuff. I can't live without this. You can't live without this. We can't worship in spirit and truth unless we know what real worship is. So, Jesus is going to share some really neat stuff, and I can't wait till next Wednesday.